cut out of the sounds. Hello and welcome to the new episode of No Haze Podcast. I'm Greaves. I'm supposed to be the host. I'm joined by Zerk. He's my co-host and he knows nothing about Dota.
Hello, hello.
This is kind of a special episode. And
you say that every time.
Yeah, I was just gonna say like it's very special, just like all others are special in a sense that we're very special. So we recorded this episode with a guy called Alex, and he's actually amazing, and we talked to him way too much again, kind of like with Reynessa. We enjoyed talking to some people, apparently, and we're gonna split this episode in two parts. And got a little bit of an announcement in the end. But for now,
A very special announcement.
For now, we gotta do our thing. Zork, who do you want to sponsor us?
Bosnia.
What?
Well, because we're dealing with a guy who's basically playing hero that only plants mines. So we need somebody
to
contain him. Somebody to change his nasty ways.
You want to send him to Bosnia?
No, Bosnia is funding us to get some sense into this guy's head.
Okay. You do realize like a lot of people from our country still have relatives in Bosnia, right? And from Bosnia who live here.
I wasn't insulting towards Bosnia or Bosnians.
All right. So it's all fun and games, just very brutal ones. That's very unexpected. So we're supposed to talk about Dota in this podcast and kind of make it light towards people who don't really know much about Dota or haven't played in a while and want to know the scene. That's why we got Alex. He runs a lot of stuff in North America and he's involved in Dota scene and in the grassroots of the Dota scene. And he's a person or type of person that I always wanted to become. So we'll get to see now what it looks like.
You always wanted to become a Canadian Korean?
Well, why not, dude? Like,
I mean, he's a great guy. Don't misunderstand me. Cool.
Canadian Koreans live mainly in Vancouver, from what I heard, and I always wanted to live in Vancouver. So, but yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. You're gonna learn a lot from us, especially how not to do things.
Yeah. So we got to Alex and Crispy Kim.
Crispy Kim? Yes, I change my name often. I get shit for it all the time, but whatever.
That's fine. This is like the sixth nickname I'm using since I've started working in Aceberg. So you run Organized Gaming, which I don't want to try to present to like explain what you guys do, so like please explain what OG is.
Okay, so Organized Gaming, we are an esports lifestyle company. We create media around esports. So we go to different events. We also have a podcast. We put out video series and stuff like that. And as well, we make merch. So that's what we do.
So that's a little bit of a change from like what you were when we first met, isn't it?
Yes. Okay. When we first met, we were still probably doing tournaments. We were doing events, and that's where we started. That's where everybody starts, or you start as a player.
Yeah. So what kind of like the thing that like fascinated me was you guys were not doing like how do I say? I want to say like you weren't really aspiring to become anything big. It sounds wrong, but like you guys were doing so much stuff with just grassroots, with like amateur tournaments and like local stuff. You were keeping it like very old school, if I remember correctly.
Definitely. It was because of our ties. I'm actually the admin of the Toronto Dota 2 community on Facebook. So we are about 3,000 members strong.
Nice.
Yeah, all of my event obligations sort of fall under Toronto Dota 2 community. So I throw tournaments for the group, I throw events for the group, viewing parties, whatever it is. And I just sort of tied in Organized Gaming there.
That's awesome. And like, how did it go? Like, how did it start even? Or was it always there since, like, Dota 1?
Oh, man. I actually got into esports pretty late, I want to say, more than other people that I've met. And, you know, there's, like, so many OGs. I don't know how long you guys have been in esports. I started probably in, like, 2015, which is not that long ago.
Yeah.
So I went out to my first esports event ever in Toronto in, like, 2015, and I was like, this is it. I want to do this. I don't know what this is, but I want to do something in here. Somehow I weaseled my way into becoming, like, the admin and, like, the community organizer for Toronto Dota community. I met the owner of the group, and he just wasn't doing much with it, so I just sort of took the reins, and it all started from there.
Ah, the classic story. Yeah. I've been in esports, like, just a little bit longer than you, but Zork, the co-host,
I'm in it like 2 months. I don't know.
Not even 2 months.
Not even 2 months.
He started
officially a month and a half.
Podcast. Yeah. He started with his podcast.
He's learning, so, like, as he goes too.
Yeah, that's like the idea. He's like representing the audience that, like, doesn't really know much about Dota, so, like, he's there to learn as well with us.
Yeah, I'm basically a stand-in for 5-year-olds.
Come on, dude, this is not Fortnite.
So do you play Dota as well?
No, actually, I played Dota 1 for, like, very, very few times in my college years, which was like 7-8 years ago now.
Right.
And I didn't understand the thing. I mean, I just dived right into it, and I had no idea what I was doing.
It's a hard game, man. There's a lot to learn.
I know. Yeah. I know. I'm learning about the scene now. I mean, I've learned a few stuff. I actually plan on trying to play it again, but Dota 1, not Dota 2. I want to start
classing. Okay.
Why? Dota 1 has nothing to do with Dota 2. Like,
I don't know, man. I'm methodical, you know. I want to see where are the grassroots, as you like to say, you know, because you've been using that word a lot these two past days. So
right.
I want to see the grassroots.
I feel like when I say grassroots, I'm more referring to, like, player base and people that, like,
the community
newcomers.
Itself.
Yeah.
I think there are people still playing Dota 1, like Russians, right?
Yeah. There's like some people in Russia and China who just refuse to switch, and, like, they have their own little communities as well, like sandboxes. But yeah.
Are they considered like hipsters in the community?
No.
I don't know a single person that plays Dota 1 over Dota 2. I don't know a single one.
I know one, and I noted, like, I saw on Reddit that, like, there is somebody said that, like, in China there's, like, a sandbox of people who just refuse to switch. They, like, just want to keep on playing Dota 1. And the funny thing is that, like, IceRug has stopped updating Dota 1 at, like, 683.
Yeah, that's right. So how are the updates coming out now?
They're not.
Oh, okay.
There is no talent. There is no nothing. Like, you know, things are all the same. So, yeah.
Well, that's some hardcore dedication from these people.
Yeah.
It's a thing to be admired, man.
Yeah, it is, in a way. It is. It's like we would go to a LAN cafe and play Call of Duty 2, except that it's not possible anymore. Nobody has it. So, Alex, I wanted to ask you, like, how... you say Toronto, but, like, what about the rest of Canada?
What do you mean, what about the rest of Canada? Like, I haven't experienced Dota too much in the rest of Canada, to be honest. Yeah, I moved to Toronto, and then it was the community and everything came after I moved to Toronto from Vancouver. Before that, I was a Dota player. I did not know about Dota esports or anything like that. So
Wait. Zork found a quote from you.
Oh God. Okay.
Today.
Oh God.
Oh, I'm not. I'm a techies player, not a Dota player. Right? Is that one?
I'm a techies player, not a Dota player. I'm a techies
player. Yeah, Greaves kind of warned me about it, and I went to your Facebook profile. I scrolled a little bit, and, like, more than half of posts were about techies.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm exposed. Thanks for exposing me, guys.
We'll get into that later. I want to get into the mind of a techies player. No, but So, like, is there, like, anything outside of Toronto? Like, is there a scene in Vancouver or something?
There definitely is a scene in Vancouver. Actually, I went recently. There's mm-hmm. a new stadium that opened up, the gaming stadium in Vancouver.
And nice. I heard of that.
Yeah, it was sick, actually. So they had a huge section where it was all PCs, and then the other side is stadium seating with a stage. So you can actually have tournaments and everything.
So it's esports only stadium.
Yes, esports only stadium. It just so happens the day I came was their Dota day. So I got to see that they were all playing Dota, and I got to see the matches and stuff. They asked me to cast, but I'm not really a caster, so I didn't. I declined, but that would have been really cool, actually, if I were.
Did they know who you are?
No, actually, I just introduced myself, and they were like, oh, very cool. Like, sounds like you know what you're doing about Dota and everything. Get on the mic. And I was like, I don't think this is a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, who cast in the end?
They had other casters there too. They wanted me to guest cast. Yeah.
And they were so bad that they wanted just a random guy off the street, like, hey, dude, can you want to cast?
I guess they looked me up. They were like, oh, Toronto Dota community and everything. And like, they just sort of started seeing. And then they asked me a little bit later. Not like right away, but you know.
is that something that you would like to try in the future? To be a caster?
Dude, I'm really camera shy. So the podcast I'm getting more and more comfortable with because I have my own podcast and you're not really on camera. But yeah. I can't. It's really scary for me. I hate being in front of people and they're like looking at you and oh, yeah. So not really. But short answer, no. I don't want to be a streamer. I don't want to be a caster. I'm out.
You know, the first thing that's the first comment we ever received for our first episode is you guys should definitely get cameras. This is better on cameras.
Oh, okay.
Like, this is a podcast. And then, like, Leaf Eater, we did an episode with him, the Reddit guy.
Okay.
And, like, 2 days later, he's actually making his own podcast with Capitalist. And they use the cameras, and like people loved it, so they did really well. So apparently, podcasts are moving that way. Like, you need to have cameras. People watch.
Well, look at Joe Rogan, man. It's cameras.
Also, it's weird. Can stream it on Twitch.
Yeah. So
thing as well. Yeah.
Do people care about that?
No, I kind of get the camera thing, you know, because people maybe don't want to look at you for 1 hour straight, but they just want to listen to you, do something else maybe, but maybe they have an urge to just glance over, oh, see who are these people. And they just want to see you.
Have a visual representation.
Yeah, just for it to be there.
Yeah, I get it. I get it, but it's weird.
That makes a lot of sense. Like,
yeah. So tell me about like how you got into Dota. Like, was it Dota 1 or
what happened? Oh, yeah, Dota 1. I've been playing Dota since like Ricky had Death Ward. That was a long time ago. Yeah, I don't know if you guys were playing then or whatever, but
I was. I remember those days when Dota was like a snow map.
Yes, yes. It was kind of a shit show there.
It had like three houses to pick heroes from, and like all of them like three or four heroes. There's like 12 slots and like 8 of them are empty because there's like 3 heroes and then you gotta switch to the other house and you're like, why? Just put them all in the same house. And you're like, I don't know. Yeah,
they extended. That's why. They had their plans, their vision.
Yeah. I mean, Ice Frog. I feel like I'm asking this because I feel like there is no people that you ask about Dota that say, oh yeah, I started last year. Like, It's such a rare thing. It's such a rare thing to find somebody who just like recently started. Do you experience anybody like with OG who just like starts recently and starts grinding and gets into it?
Oh, definitely. There's a lot of people around us that sort of want to get into it because we're into it. They're like, oh, I want to play with you, so I'm going to start learning some Dota. And that's how that sort of happens. So sort of more through friendship rather than like they really care about Dota.
Mm-hmm. Spread your swag onto people and then like infect them with positivity.
The Dota virus. I just inject them and they're like, all right, I'm in now. Yeah.
Right.
I think it's too hard of a game for most people to just be like, yeah, that looks like a fun game to try. There has to be something else behind it. You know what I mean? Like every Dota player knows it's a hard game, one of the hardest out there. So The learning curve is steep. There's a lot of information to memorize and learn.
I can confirm that.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's the way it is right now. Dota doesn't really make it very friendly for newcomers, not one bit. I wanted to ask you about that, like, because in Europe, you're gonna play against a 5-stack of Russian Smurfs your first 20 hours, and then you're gonna quit. How is it in NA? Like, do you have any people who tell you the experience of like playing for the first time? Like, is it miserable, or can they actually get through the first 100 hours to be able to play ranked?
So I have a buddy of mine who has just created a new account to restart their 100 hours. They wanna start fresh. They're like, mm-hmm. Okay, I learned how to play Dota and everything. I want a proper account now. And without all my losses and everything from learning how to play the game. So he's going through the 100 hours. It's a lot. Like, he was at one point, I think, top 5 Abaddon on Dota buff.
Okay.
So yeah. He's a good player, and he's trying to get through the 100 hours, and it's tough for him. He's complaining a lot. I don't know if it's as bad as something like CIS or those types of regions. I think it's less toxic than the other regions, but there is still the complaints there, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, why, can you like tell me why exactly he decided to just abandon his account and try a new one?
For
people who may not understand, you know.
So he wanted to create a fresh account with like better stats, better lifetime stats. So this is his new one. He's scrapping his old one. It's not like, hey, this is a Smurf and this is whatever. He's refreshing his Dota career, if you will. All of his stats, all of his. You know, so when you start looking at his account and everything, you can see that he's this good. This is a representation of how he is now, not a representation of 10 years of playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see. So, like, that's one of the things I was thinking about lately. When you calibrate, like, it means you play 10 games to get your rank score, MMR. You calibrate basically essentially the same like rank as you were before. It's like similar numbers, and it takes 10 games, and depends on your wins and losses, you may vary like 100 or 200 MMR up and down, and like the percentage of win rate is always going to be around 50%. It's how the game is made to be. Like, if you win 25 games in a row, there is a chance, there's a big chance you're going to lose like 30 games in a row at some point.
Oh, 100%. And what goes around comes around there.
Like, everybody has gone through that. Everybody. Like, you start feeling good about yourself. You've been so much. And then one day you just like start losing, and it lasts for like a month. And then you're like, why am I even playing this game anymore?
Oh, yeah. But that's when you take a break.
Yeah, you take a couple of months hiatus, and then you come back fresh to play, like ready to play. And you're wondering, why is everybody so toxic? Like, he starts encouraging people, and then starts remembering Dota just makes people so miserable.
That's the cycle of Dota, though. That is 100% the cycle. You come back all fresh-faced. You're like, oh, I'm going to be positive. Like, no, it's not toxic in here. What is everyone talking about?
Yeah.
But just life itself.
Yeah. I've been playing on a friend's account who's like 2,000 MMR lower than me because I want to play with somebody else.
Okay.
And I did a calibration as like literally the same MMR as it was like previous season. And I was just like wondering, how do you get out of that? Like, that's probably the reason why your friend actually just decided to go for a new account, because once you're there, you can improve, you can learn, you can like gain so much experience, which is necessary to play Dota. But you're just still going to be in the same rank playing against the same kind of skill talent people. So does that mean like that Dota, like all the time skill is just like goes up on all levels? So therefore your rank just means that you're like, does the rank stay the same because like everybody's getting better? So like you're not reaching new skill level because
up? Because the overall skill level keeps going up. So really you just stay at the same like placing, you know?
Is that the case? Do you think that's the case?
I think the skill level of Dota is constantly going up, 100%. That's true. Like, if you look at the skill level of the best Dota 1 players, they were garbage. You know what I mean? They didn't know how to play the game like people know how to play the game now. So
you just called Dendi garbage.
Just kidding. Oh god. Oh god. I mean, okay. Did you see Midas Mode? Like the stream team just wrecked everybody, you know what I mean? So yeah. They're not that championship caliber team anymore. Yeah.
Stream team. But
yeah, sorry. So getting back to that question, I think the skill level is definitely going up, but I think also that there are ways to increase your MMR. You just have to do things differently than the way you were already doing them. I have a lot of friends who decide, hey, I'm going to get to Immortal now, and they went from Ancient to Immortal, and they did it. It's just about thinking about the game differently. If you are like, hey, I want to become Immortal, and you keep, you're just like, I'm going to play 10 games a day to get to Immortal, that's not going to cut it. That's not going to get you to Immortal. You're going to play 10 games a day and stay exactly where you are.
Yep, can confirm. I once wanted to climb to Divine. I didn't. I'm still Ancient. But yeah.
So the strategy that my friends were using that have been doing this, they're like, all right, your goal is to win 100 MMR a day, 4 games a day if you win all 4. And you just win, you climb 100 at a time, and that's your goal. So that's how they break it down. And then the things that they're doing that they never did before are things like studying the game, studying replays. These are the things that people don't actually do, but the things that you have to do if you want to improve.
Do you guys like people? Yeah, go on.
Sorry, do you guys look at your replays or anything like that?
I've played the game since, like I said, we've both played the game since like so long ago. I've never once looked at my replay.
Exactly, and that's why we're not improving. That's why I'm a tech player.
Have you?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I don't really look at my replays.
Yeah.
Unless somebody specifically tells me, go look at this, you made a huge error or something, like if I'm in a tournament or something like that.
Yeah.
In those settings, I might. Maybe there's a handful of times that I actually looked at replays, but I don't normally.
But it's like, when you've played the game for so long, it's like halfway through the game and you just, you know, pause the game and you can just go, okay, we just lost the game because I bought this item and I should have gone for this item, and like there's just no way we can win this now. Because like if you just had so much experience, you don't even need to look at your replay. You just know that like one tiny move that you made was like just the reason why you lost the game, because you've just seen it so many times. And like,
so that's if you're looking at like a very broad perspective, but how was your farm, say you're a carry player, how was your farm compared to the other carry's farm? How was it 10 minutes into the game, 20 minutes into the game? What were the item timings like for your team, for their team? All of these types of things. Things that are very specific and very, the timing matters. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when did I get my Midas? Like, 14 minutes, and then after that, my GPM went up this much for the next, like, 5-10 minutes or whatever it is. You can see exactly those kind of numbers, and that information makes you better, definitely.
Zerk, does any of this make sense to you? Are you even listening?
I mean, I can't really relate to it from a player's perspective, but from an outsider's perspective, it sounds overcomplicated, but timing is essential in a lot of things of life. I mean, I know the basic mechanics of Dota, so I guess, you can screw up if your timing is off a lot of times during the game, so you have like 500 chances to screw up during one game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you play Dota, it's like you can screw up so many things, but like ultimately the game is gonna come down to just like not screwing up one time, and you have a chance to win. And even then, you can screw up. Like Dota right now is probably in its best shape it's ever been, just for a simple thing that like there is never, like you can never say that you're lost until you just have no like idea.
As long as the ancient standing.
As long as the ancient standing and none of you have buybacks, and the enemy just like won't make any mistakes, and they're not being stupid and not joking around, that's when you know you're lost. That is the only way. And like even then, they can all disconnect and something can happen. And just you never know. You just absolutely never know. But I wanted to like say, when you've played the game so long, and like a new patch comes out, and you just like kind of look at it, and you just go, oh, yeah, something changed. Whatever. I'll see it in the game, I guess. And that's why I kind of envy new players, because people think to play Dota, you need to like know how Dota works, and you need to play for so long. But I want to be able to jump into the game like right now and say, I have no idea how anything works, and just like learn, like make this 722 age, make that like the first patch I've ever played, you know, and like learn the game that way.
That would be a lot of fun, actually, just to not know anything from before.
Yeah,
it's a brand new game. You get to learn everything new. It's not like, hey, where did these shrines come from all of a sudden?
Yeah, I mean, it would be. I feel like we are kind of a disadvantage, and people don't really get that. But like, they have entire game to study. For us, it's like, nah, dude, I know it's like Chaos Knight needs Basher. I've been buying Basher and Chaos Knight for like 15 years. What are you talking about? And then you look at other Chaos Knight players, nobody goes for Basher. Like, it's such an old, ancient thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like people, I feel like people will lose perspective and like lose the idea of like following the meta right now and just like adjusting to the meta. And
that's actually what I was sort of trying to touch on, is that you need to change when you want to become a better player. If you actually want to climb, you need to like actually analyze all of that and not rely on, oh, I used to do this, so I'm going to keep doing it. If you look at some of my friends, there was a new patch that came out, and they went through, the two of them, they sat there and they read every single patch note, and they were like, okay, this person got buffed, this person got nerfed, blah blah blah, and they're learning the game as if it's new.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? And then everything else like doesn't matter anymore. This is now how you play the game with the new patch. If you think about the game critically like that, you can get better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is absolutely true. And I feel like not enough people do that. I mean, we exactly. go into Dota and we're like, yeah, I just want to play Dota. I don't care. I'm not going to improve. I don't care. I'm stuck here.
Okay. Isn't that the only way? I mean, every time a new patch comes out, you have to see what it is. You have to take in account the new stuff.
Do you know how many people just play and don't read the patch notes? I'm definitely one of them. Like,
okay, but how many of these people actually stay good?
Exactly, and that's why we're in Legend or Ancient or whatever, and not in Immortals, right?
Yeah. I guess
exactly the reason.
So, what do you think? Like, is necessary for people to actually get into Dota and start playing it? Like, apart from having like three different accounts,
like as a new player.
Yeah.
Oh, dude! Underlords. Underlords is a great way for Dota to reach out to people who are not Dota players and get them into the IP without actually playing Dota. You know, maybe you're a big fan of like Axe in Underlords. You can be Axe if you ever want to try Dota. You know. And you understand the characters, you know, like some of their moves. I don't know if you guys play Underlords. Do you guys play at all?
Nope. I have no idea what it is.
Basically, it's Dota Chess, just renamed.
Ah, Dota Chess. Say it like that. Yeah, I know about it.
Yeah, Dota Chess. Yeah, that's the one. So, yeah, I think that's a great way. That's what they wanted to do with Artifact, too. It's a lot easier to get into Artifact than actual Dota, but that game, RIP, you know.
Wait, Artifact 2?
No, sorry. Artifact was also supposed to be what Underlords is. Yeah.
Okay.
It's sort of the entry level into the Dota franchise, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's a great way to go at it, definitely.
So if people want to play Underlords, if they like auto chess, it's like a good way to get into the game. I kind of get it, yeah. But the thing like I feel Dota's missing is just like any sort of welcoming committee for new players. Like, there's just no way that you can... Like, nothing gives you, like, an incentive to not be a new player and not have a new account. And I feel that, like, that's just a problem for the entire game, that most of the players are just, like, old people who have been playing for so long. And like the only way that the game gets new people is once we start getting our own kids and our kids turn like 10 or 15 years, they start playing because of us. And like then they will still use our accounts. I mean, yeah, so that's kind of why I was wondering if your community in, or if like there's new players in Toronto who just like get in. So, like, do they
It depends on what kind of skill level you're talking about. If you're talking about new competitive players, like the competitive scene is pretty much the same. You don't find someone who's all of a sudden like, whoa, where did this like really good player come out of for no like out of nowhere? That doesn't happen too often. But if you're talking about new players, yeah, we get our community's always growing. There's people asking, hey, I'm new, like I want some friends to play with, or like I have some questions about how to play this or whatever. We get a lot of those. But we also get a lot of, hey, I quit Dota forever. I'm selling all my items.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to these new people, how many of these new guys, new girls that are actually interested, how many of them are actually over 20 years old, I mean?
20 years. I don't know the age of all of the people joining the community, to be honest. It's whatever they say on Facebook. But I would say Dota leans really old, actually. Most players are older. You're not going to see 16-year-olds playing Dota. They're going to be playing Fortnite.
So newcomers are also like 20, 30-year-olds?
Yeah, I would say so. I think Dota leans older. I think even the newcomers, yeah.
So do you think that's... Yeah, go on.
No, I wanted to ask if the people from the community actually consider that kind of a problem for the scene?
Yeah, is it a problem or is it like... games orientation, like is Dota turning towards that? Just be like, hey, this is a mature game that makes you question your life.
Yeah, but I don't think that's intentional. I mean, everybody wants a new audience, a bigger audience. So why would they alienate themselves from
the
kids?
You say that, but let me ask you something, Alex. Like, have you ever seen Valve do anything to promote Dota?
No, and Valve, I feel like, doesn't actually care. Yeah. What Zerk said is like, oh, everyone wants new, fresh players or whatever. I don't know that Valve does for Dota.
Exactly.
So you think they actually want to bury it?
No.
No. They're not trying to bury it. That's not what it is.
Valve love Dota. Like, they really care about Dota. Gabe, like, Dota is his, favorite
kid. So they're treating it like a dog they keep on a leash in their yard.
I wouldn't call it that either. Okay, if you compare Dota to CSGO, Valve clearly cares way more about Dota than CSGO. Like, just compare the two, so they do like Dota. It's just they don't care about attracting kids and all of these new, fresh players or whatever it is. Obviously, they're trying to do that with Underlords. They tried to do that with Artifact. But they want to keep Dota at its core what it always was. Which is a really hard game for the hardcore gamers.
Do you have any sort of like a guess, educated guess, on why they just don't want to like market Dota to kids?
Do you guys know how the sort of like structure at Valve works?
I have an idea, but I would like to hear it from you.
I don't have an idea.
So I read some cool stuff on it, and apparently there's no bosses. It's like everyone's at the same level, and if you want to work on something new, you have to find colleagues that will, I want to make Dota Underlords. Like, okay, you're a developer, you can code this game, you're an artist, you can make all the art for it and whatever, and you make a team, and you're like, okay, we're going to work on Underlords now. And it's not like a boss telling you, you have to make Underlords, and you have whatever time. Like, they work on their own schedule, on their own accord, whatever they want to work on. I think that's a big problem. It's a problem, and it's a good thing, and it's a bad thing.
It's a cool sounding problem.
So you get people working on stuff that they're passionate about, and that's why the quality of the game is so good. Is they love it, and they're putting their passion and love into it. But at the same time, like, who wants to put that? Nobody's passion is customer service. Valve has like terrible customer service. You know what I mean?
We live in a country of customer support right now. Like we're India of Europe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like Serbia, just like we have so many customer support centers right now. It's insane. Like Valve. Like if I see a building growing outside my block, I'll know it's Valve.
They finally decided to do that. That sounds like a good business idea. We can ask Valve to make an outsource in our country for customer support.
Nice. No. New startup. Let's go.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I guess they don't want to market to kids because they just don't care to market to anybody. But at the same time, wouldn't growth be actually positive?
Oh, definitely. It would be a positive thing. Again, who's telling the people that, oh, we need growth or we need this or whatever? You know what I mean? I don't know who's making these sort of like high level decisions, or if anyone's even making them at all, if they're just, you know, all just doing what they want to do. I don't know.
But
I think that might be hindering it as well.
Can't Gabe just say, hey, I want Dota to succeed, just like add, like, hey, you're in charge of Dota, right? Just add like 15 staff members to Dota.
You would think like they make a shit ton of money, you know, but like Valve has like very few employees actually. I can't remember what the number is. I read it somewhere, so it's like a couple hundred employees or something for all of Valve, and Dota is just a part of Valve. So you get what, like, you know, a part of that, maybe like 50 employees, 100 employees, whatever on Dota. It's not that many people for such a big game.
Code word: three janitors.
Gotta keep the place clean.
Yeah, it's just a meme from Reddit that like everybody just thinks that three janitors work on Dota, nobody else. And then CSGO walks in like, we would like a janitor on our game. But
that's funny.
I get it that like they like to keep the game status quo and like just keep it going organic, not like try to succumb to anyone's pressure. But then again, like, they kind of do that. They, like, if Reddit insists on something, Valve gives it to us. So it's not like they're... It's as weird as it is to say about the game, about the company that makes so much money, they really treat the audience well. Like, we get what we want. Like, if there's an outcry on Reddit, Valve just goes, oh, yeah, okay, sure, just take this, it's fine.
Yeah, we just have to make enough noise for them to hear it, right? Because, again, they don't have people, like, going through Reddit and frequently checking for like what the community thinks or anything. It's like if there's enough noise and somebody catches it, then maybe they'll, because we can appeal to them, you know, and they can make those changes without having to go, you know, higher level, like up top to another boss or something. So yeah. I think that might be a reason why they listen to us too. So that's, which is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, nobody in gaming or in esports does that, or the way that Valve deals with us. Like, it just doesn't happen. There is no company that's like, are gonna do all the right things. And like, if we really screw up, if the community really can't figure something out, or if a tournament organizer or players can't figure something out, Valve steps in, and you kind of know that the move they make is gonna be a good one. Might be rash, not rash, but a little bit harsh.
Yeah. Oh, harsh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but it's gonna be a right move in the end, and like I can't really think of anything that Valve did that was just like stupid and that nobody supports except for the James thing.
Oh god! Yeah, that was a big deal that happened.
What's with the James thing?
There was a tournament in China. Alex, do you want to explain this? Like, I feel like
I can't quite remember what happened. I just remember there was big backlash from there. So, if you remember the exact details.
Yeah. So there was a tournament in China. It's one of Valve's majors that like Valve organized. And they had this guy who doesn't care what he says. Like, he's a very smart guy. He's a very brilliant guy. He's a good Dota player, famous in the community. Everybody loved him. His sense of humor was dry. There's no thing dry on the planet that could describe how dry his sense of humor was. And of course, it's China and it's Shanghai, or yeah, it was Shanghai. So the production wasn't the best because some corruption thing they had. So like their production company was horrible. So they won. There were so many delays. There were so many issues and problems and everything. And James, being the, like the host of the tournament and host of the panel and like, I don't know, everything, he took the matter into his own hands. Like they had to entertain the audience for hours on end with no stream. Like they were prepared for Dota and instead they had to come up with stuff. So he ended up making really awful jokes about watching. Like, I think the first thing he said...
So people actually wound up with stand-up comedy instead of Dota?
Yeah, yeah, British yeah, dry yeah, humor stand-up comedy.
Wow. But the stuff he...
He opened the tournament mentioning that he couldn't find porn in his hotel because they were in China and China doesn't love porn. And, like, you could just imagine...
the stuff he was saying was just not kosher, you know what I mean? It was very like, yeah, it was raw.
It was very raw, yeah. And the community loved it. Like, he's a legend because of that. Like, he's one of us, you know. But for the tournament organizer, for Valve and for China and Chinese relations, that's, you know, a big no-no. So basically what happened was that Gabe literally went on Reddit and said, this guy's an ass. We will not be working with him ever again.
What? He really did that?
Yeah. James is an ass is like the biggest meme in Dota right
now. Gabe himself did that on Reddit.
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
I feel like he created the Reddit account just to do that. And then he also mentioned that they're firing the production team as well. But like, that's just... And that's the only thing that like that Valve did that like nobody supports, at least in Dota.
He got rehired, right?
No, to this day, he never did anything in Dota.
Oh, okay. So yeah, he's done for good. Okay,
pretty sure.
Even in spite of the popularity,
I mean, it was extremely unprofessional. If you think about it, like even if there's backlash, like you can't really have that on air live, right? So
yeah,
I suppose. Damn shame.
Yeah, but people loved it, so. A blip in Dota history, a moment in Dota history.
God bless him.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I wanted to move on to something else.
Techies?
Yes.
Oh, God. Okay.
Can you tell us about it?
Tell us about techies.
Okay. How did I even start as a techies player? I think I just realized that techies was like super fucking broken. And this was before when his suicide was like on the spot. And he countered like Jugs, Slark, like any DPS, like carry. I would just play in the off lane. You could solo. I could solo against Jug. Something like that. Because all you have to do is you put the mine down, it explodes, you get his health down. There was no beeping thing, you know what I mean? It was like super OP before, if you really think about it. And you could chip his health down with his mines. And then if you forced him to spin... Oh, sorry, it's my dog.
No, it's fine, it's fine.
Yeah. Sorry.
Mocha, come here. Mocha, come here.
This could have happened to me too.
Yeah.
So if you forced the Jug to spin, you could actually, and a lot of people thought that they would be safe, but the suicide is physical damage. So you could just kill them. Same with any Invis hero, Ricky, BH, Slark. If Slark ults, all you do is you just blow up on the spot. He pounces you and ults, you blow up on the spot, you kill him. It was like the most OP thing of all time. It was all physical damage. So that's how I started playing techies. Yeah, that's not how it is now, but that's how I started playing techies. I thought it was the most OP thing. He became my hero, and then they changed him. They nerfed him a lot. He is not the same anymore, but I'm still trying to figure out ways to like use him and make him viable. I still play him in ranked. Not this calibration, but the one before. I played all 10 of my calibration games with techies.
All right.
I think I went like 50-50, which was not bad, but not great either.
Definitely with techies, not bad.
Yeah.
So basically Valve introduced roles now, and you can get reported for playing outside of your role. So like it's the famous thing where like you queue for a game marking safe lane support, and you just pick safe lane carry instead because you know and Deki's players get reported no matter what they play.
And that's the hugest problem. I don't like you get shit on and blamed for anything and everything. Like before the game even starts, you pick techies and the game's already your fault no matter what happens. It's so stupid.
Yeah, yeah. I scrolled your Facebook profile today and I saw some kind of post related to techies, and the first comment was from some guy just fuck you.
A friend.
That was a friend of mine. We were actually in a one-on-one tournament, and it ended up being techies, and I beat him.
Of course.
Yeah. So he's forever salty about that. So that was a fun one.
So do the people actually actively hate techies?
Yes.
Can you tell us why?
Answer yes. I think. Well, immediately they think if you lose the game, it's a techie's fault. The techies does not really feel like a full hero. So they're like, oh, we're playing 4v5 now because we have a techies on our team. And they blame you for being like, you know, one hero less on your team. That's one of the reasons.
If you play against techies, you still hate him. Like, every time I play against techies, I just report him as well because it's...
Oh, definitely. Yeah, he's on your team. He's against you. Like, he's on the other team. He's on your team. Everybody, hey, it's 9-on-1. It's not even like you have your team backing you. You don't. Everybody hates you.
So you're actually playing like a third team.
Yeah, exactly. By yourself. You're on your own island. Yeah. It's like you hit mute all and then you just play your game. Like, you know, it's just you can't really do anything about it.
So is there a reason why do you feel like is that like why you play him, because you feel like, well, it's 9 people against me, so I'm just gonna piss everyone off, or like do you just like playing the hero and just have to deal with playing as everybody else?
I like the hero. I don't want to piss everyone off. I try to stay very positive. I don't start fights with people, and I play techies as a proper support now when. You know, he's been changed. So he has his, like, leap suicide thing. I play him as a fifth position. Like, I buy wards. You know what I mean? I do all these things. I communicate with my team, and I still get hated on, but I try to make it through. So, but I would say techies is the most viable when you have a team with you. The reason techies doesn't work is because nobody wants to work with you. And that's the number one reason techies is bad.
Yeah.
So you have to be a master diplomat.
Yeah, definitely.
Or play with friends.
Or there's the Slacks theory, right? Slacks theory was piss off the team so much that they fall apart and start fighting with each other, and then you know your team doesn't fall apart and then you win. So yeah, that's like he starts the game by, you know, like writing like, you know, all chat like comments to the other team to try to piss them off and tilt them. You know, he really gets into that mental game, and he tries to dismantle them that way. So
yeah. Do you learn from him?
I actually watched that video. I learned a little bit from him actually. He's a techies player too, so
yeah.
He's a good player, man. Slacks has knowledge about the game. He has some theories. Like he's good.
I feel like he doesn't play like when we were first introduced to Slacks, I think that was like around the time when he became the second member of the Dota 2 Fails of the Week from Dota Cinema.
Right.
I don't know if people knew him before that. Like, I'm not sure if they did. There was like maybe some people knew him as like some dude from NA, like I don't know, for Twitter stuff, but like that's when he got famous. And when he started playing techies, people were like, oh yeah, okay, that fits his personality, because he doesn't play Dota the normal way. Like, his Dota is just like, it's like he's playing Heroes of the Storm in Dota game. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, it works somehow, because it's Dota. Anything can work. Absolutely anything can work.
Also, it's because he's Slacks, right? So, if Slax is in a game and he picks techies, your team's going to rally around you. You're like, oh, we have Slax techies on our team. He can get people to work with him because he's famous. So it's a little bit easier for him, I think.
Do you think he's famous? Like, everything he did was just so that people would actually like playing him playing techies?
I think he's like a genius wrapped in a like an idiot's body. Like, I don't know. Like, he's externally, he seems like he's like, what is Slax? Like, what are you doing? The way he talks, like everything. But I think on the inside, he's like actually a genius. He's like Kanye West.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Because Tekkies is not a hero. Tekkies is just not Dota. Like, he places mines, and you just, everywhere you go, you just take damage from random mines that he placed there like 30 minutes ago. Like, you're deep into farming, and like, you have vision and everything, and you go into jungle and you die to mines that he didn't even know that exist. It's just not a hero. It's not Dota. It doesn't fit any concept. And then you have Slax, who always thinks outside of box. Like, so he's an idiot, but...
Are techies Dota's biggest underdogs?
Techies is number one, the most hated character in all of Dota. Period. Like, hands down. Period. There's no other hero.
There's one like entity that's hated more than techies, and it's Pendragon.
It's sorry?
Pendragon.
Pendragon?
The guy who ran the Dota website, and then when League of Legends was created, Pendragon would shut down Play Dota website.
Oh, and I'm not sure what this is.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was a long time ago, I guess. I got into like Dota scene like 2015, right? So this was a while ago.
Little bit of history.
Yeah.
Play Dota website was where Icefrog posted Dota versions. One was like official version, and one was like just an updated version. So like, he would post stable tournament version that like tournaments were played on.
Right, right.
And he would also post the next one, and then like work back on it and like stabilize stuff, add like versions B, C,
yes,
D,
yes,
whatever.
I remember.
And then and then that would be like the official tournament version when it was like patched out completely. And that was like the only forum, the only like place where you could get maps for Dota 1.
Right.
And it was ran by Pendragon, the dude who was like, I don't know, his friend or whatever.
Oh.
League of Legends was created. One day you go to Play Dota forums, and like Icefrog actually talks to people there. You know, he communicated with everybody, and you could tell him like hero ideas and suggestions, and he would take it into account.
Right.
So Pendragon just removes the website and posts Dota 2 is dead. Dota 2 doesn't exist anymore. Icefrog left. League of Legends is the game that's like now going to be played. And that is how League of Legends got its big start.
Oh, you know what? This rings a bell. That is... Yeah, you're right. This did happen. This does ring a bell. Yes, yes. You're absolutely...
He's like the guy on Reddit. Even in like League of Legends Reddit, he gets like minus 5,000... karma on every single comment. People hate him so much.
Oh god, that I did not know. I didn't know that he was so hated. That's crazy. Okay,
absolutely everybody hates this guy. So yeah, he's the only entity in the entire game, entire industry of Dota that's like hated more than techies.
Wow,
good to know. There's somebody that beats me, so that's fine. That's good.
But yeah, so I just wanted to like to make sure like we have a techies player who likes playing techies for the hero.
I would say the number one reason that I probably started playing techies, I don't know if I could say it, but like I would, you know, medicate, and then you're in your own space, you know what I mean? You don't have to interact with anybody, like you can play your own game. So it's very relaxing, actually. Like, you don't have to like communicate. You can really kind of play 1-on-9, and that's what I like to do for a lot of the time when I was playing Dota in when I first started playing Dota. Is like I just wanted to medicate and just, you know, like play my own game and not be stressed out when I wasn't as into it. You know what I mean? And Techies was the hero to do that. Yeah.
Did you maybe play Bomberman as a kid?
Oh yeah, definitely. Bomberman was fun.
I loved that shit.
Yeah. great game. Korea turned it into like a online game, and this is a different topic, but sorry.
No, Korea did what?
It was an online competitive game, Bomberman. It was called Crazy Arcade. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I actually played the Sega version on an emulator like 15 years ago or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So Korea had like an online competitive game with ranks and everything. You could buy items, you could spend money, and it was pretty much Bomberman. That was a lot of fun. I played a lot of that.
Is it still still going?
That I don't know, actually. So I'm not sure, but I can't even play anymore because, at the time you needed a Korean like social insurance number to play, and I don't have one anymore. So,
all right, interesting.
Yeah.
Wait, anymore? You stopped being Korean?
No, I cracked my key. Like I like made. I like paid for one or something. I can't remember what I did, but I was not a Korean citizen, so I got that. But I lost my number, and now I don't know where it is. So.
Yeah.
So were you actually born in Korea or in
Canada? No. I was born in Canada actually. Yeah. So I'm fully Canadian, but I am Korean heritage.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah. So to get back on like NA, you say there's like a little bit of outside of Toronto, and there is like Toronto scene.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, like, how about the NA scene in general? Like, do you think maybe it's easier to get into Dota in NA scene just because there's, like, a smaller player base? And it's like, you kind of can get into communities that are smaller and kind of stick together, or is that not a thing? That would be all for episode one, or part one of this episode... eight with Alex. We're gonna come back with episode two in a couple of days, part two. Jesus, why do I keep saying episode? Zork, what are your thoughts on Alex anyway?
I love him. I mean, I like him. I don't want to get too
yeah, but, you know, escalated.
No, he's a cool dude. I'm really glad to have met him and that we have talked about these little things.
Awesome. Part two is going to be up in a couple of days. We're not going to do our usual to just like split it for next week, and we will be back very soon. Make sure to listen to us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on SoundCloud, on Google, on Stitcher, on everywhere, and just like, you know, hear one episode basically five times. And feel free to rage at us on Twitter. And Zurich has been harassing some people on Twitter lately, so feel free to join
in.
Yeah,
get in a fight with me. I'm waiting for it.
Yeah, and feel free to just give us any sort of rating, even if it's like a half a star. That'd be very, very nice.
Can we get half a star?
I have no idea. But yeah, see you guys very soon.